Right, now let's talk a little bit about each individual hormone. Now, these are just the major hormones. There are over 200 peptide hormones alone. Peptide hormones being the ones that are protein-based rather than cholesterol-based. Steroid hormones like testosterone and estrogen are steroid. Cholesterol-based. So we're really only talking about a very small fraction of the many hormones that control the body. And probably no one truly understands how the endocrine system works, but we can make a tremendous difference by taking the major hormones and bringing them back to about mid-range for a 30-year-old healthy person. So let's talk about estrogen. A lot of controversy about estrogen. There's no doubt that it's a potential carcinogen. But it's very confusing about what actually makes this hormone dangerous. Can it be given safely? There are actually six major estrogens in the female body. Three of them produce most of the effect. There's estradiol, estrone, and estriol. When you take Premarin, you're taking mostly estradiol. There's a lot of talk about natural versus synthetic estrogen. Technically, Premarin is a natural product. It's a distillate of horse urine, so it's not natural to the female human, but it is a natural product as it comes from a horse. But there are those that argue, and I think that it's a good argument, that possibly because it's what's natural to a horse, that there's side effects and potential dangers that would not be there if you gave estrogens that were natural to a female. Now, if you go to the health food store, you can find natural estrogens that are taken from plants. It is true that estrogens that are biologically and chemically identical to what the female human makes can be found in plants. But there are no plants that grow tubes of cream on them. So what makes it natural is that the chemical is identical to what the human body is used to seeing. So if you give a natural estrogen, does it make it safer? No one really knows. There are studies suggesting that may be the case. There's also studies suggesting that some of the estrogens may be safer than others. Estrione is a weaker estrogen, is not as effective in preventing hot flashes as estradiol. There was one study in rats showing that it helped prevent breast cancer. Estrone is probably more dangerous than estradiol. The big PrimPro study that received so much press a year or so ago, there was one dose given to every female, and the study did not report actual blood levels of estrogens. We're still not sure if running the estrogen at a lower level, around 40% of the women dropped out, and this is typical for estrogen blood study, for Premarin estrogen type studies in perimenopausal women. Usually they're given all the same dosage, and about 30 to 40% drop out from side effects, as they did with this study. It seems a little bit backwards to me that, say for instance with thyroid, where we start a hormone at a low dose, titrated up, following blood levels carefully. But we don't do this with something that we know is carcinogenic like estrogen. Most patients receive one dose, and without following blood levels, the dose is either dropped or raised depending upon the woman's symptoms. I think that there's possibility that running the level lower may prevent some of the risk. My experience shows that most women, they have a resolution. Their hot flashes go away at a level of around 50 to 70, somewhere in that range. Most ladies who are taking Premarin have estradiol levels around the 200 range. So there's a lot of room to lower the level and still prevent hot flashes. There are good studies showing that levels below 40 are associated with dementia, even in males. So there is some benefit to estrogen. We've known the benefit is probably not cardiac for quite some time. there may be some benefit to help prevent colon cancer. But the biggest benefit, I think, is just the way people feel and the way they look. It has been well documented that females appear healthier and younger and feel better if they're taking a low dose of estrogen. There are several studies that were done in women who had treatment for breast cancer and were so miserable from their hot flashes they decided they would rather have estrogen and run the risk of redeveloping breast cancer than do without it. These women were studied, and it was found that they actually, on the average, lived longer than those who did not take estrogen. And that's a tough one to figure into all this estrogen controversy, but it's a true statement. There's a good review of estrogen replacement in women who are preventing hot flashes and menopausal symptoms in women who are treated for breast cancer. The study was, or review of the literature was done a few years ago, and part of the review included giving progesterone alone or testosterone alone, as well as some of the herbal supplements like black cohosh, etc. But the point of it is that it's a very complicated process, but there's evidence to suggest that giving low levels, carefully followed by blood values, and giving natural hormones, and giving estriol rather than estrone and estradiol may lower the risk. So this is the strategy I take. I like to give natural estrogens at a low dose and give mostly estriol. If a woman can do it without estrogen, and many of my patients do fine without estrogen, taking progesterone or testosterone alone, then that's the way we do it. It's not just the hormone you give, it's how you give it. Estrogen, for example, can be given as a sub-Q injection that lasts for 3 to 4 months, a cream that's applied either to the face or to the vagina, or as a shot once a month, or as a cream applied daily, or as a daily tablet. How it's given can vary depending on the symptoms and upon a woman's preference. I've seen dramatic improvement in urinary incontinence giving it as a cream. Of all the tissue in the body, the tissue with the highest number of receptors for estrogen is the urethral meatus, where around the urethra, where the water actually comes out of the woman's body, is very sensitive to estrogen. And by applying cream in this area, you can get high levels in that tissue without achieving real high blood levels. Like the analogy is the door to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning. You may see quite a few people walking in and out, but if you go into the depths of the store, you may have trouble finding anyone. The same principle applies when you make the route of entry cream applied to a certain part of the skin, then you get high levels at that part of the skin without high levels in the bloodstream itself as the hormones diffused after it enters the blood. So I've had several ladies cancel their surgery for urinary incontinence after starting estrogen cream that was applied to the urethra. This also helps, of course, the vaginal mucosa, strengthen the vaginal mucosa to make intercourse more pleasant. Estrogen, for heart protection, is not to be done, in my opinion. It's to be done for feeling better, for maintaining youthfulness and appearance, and for maintaining good memory. The next hormone is progesterone. This one has some effect on sleep. I'm not as aggressive about replacing it as some of the other hormones, but if a woman has trouble sleeping, it's a good strategy to use. Again, I like to use a natural progesterone, usually as a cream. It also has some effect on sex drive and other effects, but those are the two main effects I give it for, is sleep and sex drive. The hormone that does the most magic for my patients probably is testosterone. Mostly, I think, because it's so frequently overlooked. Testosterone has huge effects on the female, even though the levels are much smaller than in a male, but it's frequently not measured. I've had women come to me and just most women who come to me will tell me their hormones are normal, but they frequently have either not had their testosterone checked, or it's been checked and found to be either within normal limits for a postmenopausal woman, which is a lower adjusted value. In other words, if you have a level of 5, that's considered normal for postmenopausal, but abnormally low for premenopausal, before menopause. And so they'll go untreated. But that's more of a political measurement than anything else, in my opinion. Why would you? We don't have pre- and postmenopausal thyroid levels. And I don't understand the reasoning behind having a pre- and postmenopausal testosterone level. If you want to replace it, I would say it's very conservative to replace testosterone in a woman because of the lack of prostate and very little evidence that it's caused any damage anywhere else. It does not cause liver cancer unless you give it as a pill. I don't give testosterone as a pill. I think estrotest is archaic and shouldn't be used anymore. Even bodybuilders will not take testosterone as a pill anymore. And when you take it as a pill, the liver converts it back to estrogen, a good portion of it. And I've seen many women taking estrotest who do not have adequate testosterone levels. So I don't give it as a pill, but I give it usually as a cream, and it causes dramatic improvements. But why would you adjust the level, as I said, just because you don't adjust levels for thyroid? You have the same normal level whether you're premenopausal or postmenopausal. So other effects of testosterone, bad effects, as I was starting to say, is people worry about liver cancer, but that just does not happen unless you're taking high levels as a tablet. That's the only cases that's been seen, only time that's really been seen has been bodybuilders taking high levels as a tablet. A small percentage, about 10%, will see an increase in their cholesterol, but I've never had a patient do that unless they were not exercising. About 10 to 15% will see an increase in blood pressure. Again, I see this in the people who are not exercising and who are gaining weight. Most people have either no change in cholesterol or an actual improvement in cholesterol. Testosterone does help muscle. The heart is a muscle. It does not cause a cardiomyopathy, but causes neovascularization. You see new blood vessel formation and actual improvement. Good studies showing that it helps improve circulation in some populations. So testosterone can be good for the heart, and most people, and in some people it can be neutral, and in a small number, like I said, no matter what hormones I give you, you can see a worsening of symptoms. And this will be accelerated with testosterone if you're not exercising. You may see an increase in weight. But the other side effect that you can see is that a small number of people will see an increase in facial hair. Usually I see this in women of Mediterranean descent or dark-eyed women who already have a little facial hair. I frequently see women who have almost zero testosterone levels, who already have a mustache left over from their younger years when they had a higher testosterone level. Then I may see a blonde, blue-eyed woman who takes testosterone. I had one lady who took testosterone accidentally. Her husband was giving her the injections and accidentally gave her too much for about a month, and she never developed facial hair. She was taking manly type doses, but her genetics were just such that it wasn't something that she had to deal with. If facial hair develops, it's reversible by lowering the dosage. It's not like something you wake up one day and you have a full beard. You'll have a little increase in darkening and a little bit worsening of facial hair on the testosterone. And you have time to decrease the dose and see reversal of that. You can also use estrogen creams to help reverse that, as well as decrease. Estrogen creams work well as an anti-wrinkle cream. The biggest effect I see in testosterone are good. The side effects are minimal. It's either facial hair. Sometimes you'll have a woman who's used to singing soprano, and if she takes it long enough, occasionally her voice will not be as crystal as it once was. But the good effects I see are a much in women who have very severe migraines, you can actually see a resolution or a complete disappearance of their migraines. We don't know why women are more susceptible to migraines, but we know they have them much more frequently than men. And so there's probably some protective effect from testosterone for migraine. I've seen several patients who had actually been to headache clinics have resolution completely of their migraines after starting testosterone replacement. It helps depression, helps energy level goes up, recovery from exercise goes up. So most of my patients, actually the way I got into hormone research was running a weight loss clinic and finding so many patients who just did not have the energy to exercise, and so I started replacing their hormones, which led to doing research in this area. But from the probably 90 to 95% of my patients, it's been a dramatic help in weight loss, because it increases the metabolic rate so that you need more calories to maintain your normal weight, which means you can eat more and weigh the same, or eat the same and weigh less. It also increases your recovery from exercise and helps you enjoy it more so that you're more likely to do it, which also helps you lose weight. So testosterone has effects on weight loss, it helps prevent headaches, it helps sex drive, it helps concentration, helps depression, it just helps this general overall outlook on life for many of my patients. They get to be more involved with their business. They're more energetic with their housework. They're more calm with their children. They're more friendly with their husband. They're more congenial with their friends. It really has been, it's a personality changer. It seems to help a lot with premenstrual syndrome. So this one has been a godsend for many of my patients. Now, DHEA is something you can buy over the counter. With testosterone, of course, it takes a prescription, and in women I give it either as a cream or as an injection. I can give it as an injection every 2 weeks that the patient, the woman, can give to herself, or have a husband or friend give it to her. I can give her an injection once every 3 months that insurance pays, it reimburses some for. I charge $150 for that, but insurance reimburses most of that. That's an every 3 month injection. The injection that you take every 3 weeks, you can buy a year's supply for about $80, so it's reasonably cheap. You can use it as a cream, to especially apply to the vagina. It can sometimes increase sensitivity and help with sexual pleasure, and can help with dyspareunia. If you have pain with sexual intercourse, it helps rebuild the vasculature and the mucosa and help make it more pleasurable to have sex. Okay, DHEA, that's another one, another hormone that's a precursor. It goes from, your body takes cholesterol and produces DHEA, and it takes DHEA and produces estrogen and testosterone. DHEA is sometimes taken in high doses and has been studied in high doses as a way to raise testosterone levels, but you have to take such high doses of it, you wind up with higher than normal DHEA level, and then you're never sure exactly what percentage will be split off into estrogen and what into testosterone. So I see some women with higher estrogen levels than what I would like from taking high levels of DHEA and still not achieve a testosterone level as high as I would like. There have been a lot of studies I mentioned. I saw the most recent study I saw presented on this was in a meeting in Puerto Rico concerning my growth hormone research, where an Italian lady physician presented data using very high doses of DHEA and still having difficulty maintaining the levels of testosterone that I think most women do well with. I like to run testosterone in the high normal, as I mentioned earlier, around 60 to 80 range for a female. A normal for a male, a 40-year-old male, normal is around 250 to 1,000. For a 30-year-old male, it's more like 500 to 1,500. So most males, I like to run around the 600 to 800, 900 range, which makes a conservative level even for a 30-year-old. But so a female with a level of 80 is still far away from being turned into a man, but seems to have a more dramatic effect for some reason in women than in men. My theory is that perhaps going from 10 to 80 being an eightfold difference, somehow that has a more dramatic effect than, say, going from 300 to 600, which is only a twofold difference. I don't know. I just know that the personality and the lifestyle and the change in outlook on life is much more dramatic for some reason in women, although it's impressive in men, even though they have lower levels. And most of my patients have never had a testosterone level checked. The ones who have been told it's normal frequently because they've either been, they're sitting around that 20. Remember the two things I do different. One is I check more hormones, and the other is if you come to see me and you have weight gain or you have other symptoms of a low testosterone level and you're sitting there at 25 and normal is 20 to 70, I'm going to want to treat that to help make you feel better. I could triple that level, or I could double it, and you would still only be mid-range. So that's how I treat testosterone and DHEA. DHEA, I don't give high levels. I just replace it back to normal with a small dose and then give the testosterone separately to bring it back within the upper level of normal for a female. Growth hormone is more controversial. It's been around less. It's been around, but up until around 1990, it was $35,000 for a month's supply because the only source was the pituitary gland of cadavers. So about the only people who got it were small children who were not able to grow due to lack of growth hormone. So it became a new, although we knew a lot about growth hormone, it became a new therapy around 1990 when we were able to produce it by using the same technology by which we produce insulin. That is, to splice the gene into an E. coli, and you take billions and billions of E. coli and let them use their machinery to produce it for you. That's the way we make insulin, and now it's the way we make growth hormone. And eventually it'll go generic and be a lot cheaper. But even now with that technology, for most people it's anywhere from $300 to $1,500 a month for a full replacement dose of growth hormone. So it's affordable for some people, but still expensive. And for some people, of course, it's still out of range. So it's a more difficult hormone to replace, and because of its expense, it's monitored very closely by the insurance agencies. Blue Cross changed their policy a couple of years ago, actually immediately after auditing my practice, because I had used them, even though I was using a much more stricter criterion than what they required. My patients alone were going to cost them, by my calculation, somewhere over $10-15 million over the next 10 years or so, just to from their growth hormone. Is very expensive. So now it's almost impossible to get it unless you have your insurance to pay for, unless you have multiple pituitary abnormalities. But it's still at a low dose, still affordable for some people. Now, a measurement of growth hormone is insulin-like growth factor, which is produced by the liver. The pituitary doesn't actually produce growth hormone all day long. It gives a couple little short squirts that are brief, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and another one right after exercise, or perhaps if you're fasting. But you can use another protein made in response to this by the liver to get an idea about the level of growth hormone. So you'll see on your blood work, if you see me, an IGF-1, which stands for insulin-like growth factor 1, which is like a trip computer on your car, which tells me if you're producing growth hormone adequately. That's the best screening measurement we have. Now, there's another. I can stimulate your pituitary gland in the office by giving you IV glutamine or IV insulin and then measuring your growth hormone every 30 minutes. If you want to read more about this, you can go to a book called Grow Young with HGH. Or we will talk about it more in person if your IGF-1 is low. But in some cases, even if your growth hormone level is low, I can stimulate your pituitary to make more growth hormone every day at home by putting you on the right supplement, depending on what your health is and what your other hormones are like. But this is another hormone that has dramatic effects, and it's very possible to replace it with very high doses of the proper supplements, and it's possible for many people to afford it now. And if it's done in a proper way, which in my mind means a conservative mid-range level for about a 30-year-old person, you can have extremely dramatic effects. For instance, with testosterone, you have increase in metabolism and increase in libido, but in a male, the firmness of erection is more related to growth hormone levels than it is to testosterone levels. And with a low growth hormone level, you'll still see central obesity or fat deposits around the waist, even with everything else right, until you raise the growth hormone levels, and then you start to see loss of that abdominal fat. A low growth hormone is very much like a low thyroid level, in that when it's low, you see depression, fatigue, weight gain, increased cholesterol, just like you see with low thyroid. One of the known documented effects of low growth hormone is a raised cholesterol level and increased atherosclerosis. So it truly is to someone's benefit to replace growth hormone back to normal. Long-term studies have been going on now. There's one international study that I've been involved with now for several years. Actually, the Japanese are ahead of us on this, and they're a higher enroller than we are. But it's with Genotropin, and they're looking at the long-term effects of replacement. We don't know, of course, because it's only been available to adults since 1990. We know the syndrome, we know the effects of low growth hormone on adults, but we don't know the effects of one person being on growth hormone replacement for 40 years. Some people have hypothesized because of the word growth that somehow we're going to cause tumors to grow, even though growth hormone actually, when it's low, lowers the immune system. But we know that acromegalics who have very high growth hormone levels are more likely to get colon cancer by a slight amount, like 2 to 3 more per thousand. So people have wondered that maybe if you take growth hormone that you're going to cause cancer. Very good research has shown that taking growth hormone in replacement doses does not cause cancer. I've been involved in a study now for several years that's worldwide that shows that replacement does not cause cancer. Now, we do not have anybody in this study that's been on growth hormone for 50 years. As I said, it only became cheaply available or reasonably available for adults in 1990. But we have cumulative many hundreds of thousands of years of data cumulative by combining the patients that we've had on the drug from many different countries. Actually, Japan is the highest enroller, followed by some of the other European countries, and the United States is behind on this. It's much more political in this country, and it's hard to find physicians who are willing to prescribe it because of the politics of the anabolic hormones. But very good research shows that it's much safer than Premarin. Now, as I said, there are no, even though we have this cumulative data, we don't have any data on patients that have been on it for 50 years, so except for children. This is my reasoning on it. We know, as with thyroid, low levels cause disease. With low thyroid, certain things happen. With high thyroid, certain things happen. Same with growth hormone. We know low levels cause increased atherosclerosis, increased heart disease, depression, heart attack, stroke, high cholesterol. High levels, we know, cause acromegaly, can cause valve problems, kidney problems, 1 to 2 per thousand more increase in colon cancer. There are things that happen. This is the body type of Lurch on the Munsters. He's acromegalic. Tony Robbins mentions on one of his tapes that his growth hormone level is low, is very high. But yet he's avoided some of the complications. But anyway, that's the body. It's the huge guy that's 7 feet plus tall. That's the body type of someone with, or it's the bodybuilder taking really high doses. Those people have health problems they have to watch for. But I think the evidence is very strong, and completely supporting in the idea that growth hormone, just like thyroid and just like testosterone, causes disease when it's low, or there is disease resulting when the levels are low, there's disease when the levels are high, and there's optimum functioning when the levels are normal. So most of my patients, I'd like to see their growth hormone level about mid-range. For their age group, I'm even more conservative with this just because of the bad press, but mid-range for their age group, and usually about 30 to 40% for a 30-year-old person. With this, I've seen very dramatic changes in the way people feel. Chronic pain, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, it would just, I hesitate to even tell the stories because they're so unbelievable. But when you align all these hormones up together, usually I'll find two or three that can benefit from adjusting. But when all these hormones are fine-tuned and there's a tailor-made replacement therapy created that for each person that brings them to about mid-range for a 30-year-old, the effects can be very dramatic. A couple other things I'll look at. I look at B12 and folate. I still frequently find that people don't absorb those vitamins well and they're low. Occasionally I'll look at a hair analysis for other vitamin and mineral problems, but usually this is not needed. I always look at thyroid very carefully. Everybody tells me their thyroid is normal. Hardly anybody I see has a thyroid that's optimally adjusted. Yes, many of them have levels that are technically within normal for T4. Most of them have never had the right test done, as I spoke earlier. They've never had a free T3 done. And if they have, they're usually, if they're coming to see me, they're not feeling well. And usually I'll find at least one of the two thyroid hormones sitting in the lower 20% of normal. So I'll frequently adjust it back up to mid-range, sometimes in the higher 20% of normal, and this together with the other adjustments can have amazing results. I think that about covers the major hormones that I look at. As I said, with each person, they're tailor-made not only with the hormone that's given, but the route that's given, and the route takes into account both the level as well as the different symptoms. So in fine-tuning the female body, I like to look at diet, of course, exercise. I look at supplements. I look at the hormones. I look at how they're working together with lifestyle. And then I start combining these ingredients together in a way that synergizes with that person's goals. Then polish it off with things like skin treatments like Retin-A and things that might improve the actual appearance. I have different compounded hormones made for the scalp that I can use, different treatments to help with lower libido, the sort of the polishing effect. But the first thing I think is to get a hold of the metabolism with the major hormones. Next, it's blend in some exercise to change the other hormones around that we can't measure, those 200 plus peptide hormones that are only measured experimentally, but start to fall in effect and become normal when you combine exercise together with taking control of the major hormones. And that's when you really start to see the magic, and it's not uncommon for people to come into my office and just cry because their life is so much better than it was. As far as my fee goes, I had to stop taking insurance because insurance still considers hormone replacement to be a 5-minute discussion after your pap smear and just was not paying me for my time. I would beg Blue Cross to pay me $40 for 2 hours' time and I just couldn't cover my overhead. They do a good job of paying for the lab work. At least they pay well for most people. I hope this recording has been helpful. If you have any questions, please feel free to call me.